Okay, we're gonna get started. This is January 28th, 6 o'clock, New York City Planning Commission work session. And I've asked Commissioner Beals to lead us on the pledge of allegiance.
All right, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. We'll move to agenda item one. Do we have a declaration of conflicts from the commissioners? There being none, move to agenda item number two. Training on planning commission rules and regulations. Steve or Rhode?
I'm gonna turn it over to Mr. Brody.
I think two's the minutes.
No.
No?
We missed the minutes on that, that's what it looks like.
We don't have minutes.
Okay.
You got an old agenda then?
Oh, I do have an old one. I'll just hand those out. So let's go from right here. Okay, so I just wanna talk briefly just about some of the, I guess, questions that have come up recently regarding some of the things that can and can't be done in the planning commission meeting. There's a book put out by the Utah League of Cities and Towns, and they have a little paragraph here, not written by me, so if you get offended by it, it's Dave Church who wrote it, you can call him. But he just said this about planning commission. Some confusion has arisen over what power a planning commission or individual planning commissioner really has. The answer is not much. Planning commissions are not policy-making bodies. They recommend policy to the policymakers. The requirement of state law is that the planning commission is to be involved in making recommendations to the city or town legislative body regarding certain land use ordinances. If the city or town council does not accept the recommendations, there is nothing the planning commission can do. The state code specifically provides that the city or town council can adopt a recommended ordinance, reject it, or revise it. This is not to say that planning commissions are not important. City councils and mayors, because they also have to be politicians, have a great need for well thought out and studied recommendations in the area of planning and zoning. Planning commissioners who provide this service are invaluable to a community. Planning commissioners who see their roles as representing special interests or specific neighborhoods are not as helpful in the planning process and may actually hinder good planning. So I think it's just important to always remember the planning commission's here to think things through regarding land use issues and recommend things to city council. Rarely does the planning commission make a final decision, but we still want to go through it and put the work in so that the city council has the best version that we can give them. Now, what they do with that, that's on them, and that's on the elected officials there. So in the Planning Commission, we have the rules and regulations. These are on our website under the Planning Commission. They've been adopted, I believe it was in 2017 they were adopted. These are the rules that the Planning Commission functions under, and what we abide by. I just want to go over a few of them again. I don't want to be here all night, and you certainly don't want to listen to an attorney talk. I understand that. So if we just go to page 5, there's just a couple things that I want to go through, I think, which will kind of help. And planning commission members, if you guys have questions as we go through, ask. I'll answer as best I can, and if I don't know, I'll find an answer for you and tell you later. Where it says order and decorum, this is the procedures that have been adopted for a meeting. Just a couple of things I want to highlight is, so in E, order of decorum 1D, planning commission members may ask questions of applicant or staff. Your questions are valid items when we have public comment or meetings, public meetings. And if you have them, let's talk about them, okay? Certainly, if an applicant is asking for something and you don't understand why or have a question as to what exactly they're wanting, you can ask those questions. After a public hearing, the applicant has some rebuttal time. Steve generally will have a report on the staff report, but that's not the end of it. That then kind of turns into your time. So if we go into J right there, I'll just read it real quick. In J, the order or the procedure would be that a motion is made and seconded. So that's where you're going to make the motion. But it also says the Planning Commission discusses the item and votes. Members are allowed to openly discuss the proposal and may further question any party appearing for or against the proposal as necessary. But generally, questions should be asked while the public hearing is open. The chair outlines possible actions, approval, disapproval, continue, or approval with conditions. So just one thing I want to make clear, and as always, this is up to you guys as individual members. Just because you can doesn't mean you should, right? Everyone knows that. You guys have the ability to ask questions of myself, of Steve, of one another, of an applicant. And that time after a public hearing is your time to discuss pros and cons and where you guys are at. So I would encourage you to, again, if you have nothing to say or choose not to, that's fine too, but you guys are allowed to make those questions, have that discussion then. Any questions about that or anything?
Yes, I have a question. We have a number of people here, and thank you for coming. They're not the applicants.
They're not.
And we have a discussion with them to answer their questions.
So
the purpose of the meeting is for them to be here and give us information and for us to, I think, to have a dialogue with them so they know what we're doing and we know what their concerns are.
So, yes, you can. Goes okay. Back to can versus should.
Definition.
Right. Now, also, the proper place for that is during the public hearing.
Okay.
It's important to remember there's a difference between a public meeting and a public hearing. Tonight specifically is a work meeting, which is a public meeting. It's not a public hearing. When things are set for public hearing, that's when the public is allowed to come up and address everyone as a body. So if we're going to go right now, do we have it set for a public hearing? No. Do we have question and answer tonight? No. But anyone who's not an applicant, you can stay as late as you want talking to everyone. But as far as addressing a body, a public hearing, that's what that's for. Did I answer that? Okay? Yeah. So.
When would be the next hearing?
Okay.
Sorry, yeah. At this time, this is where the public isn't supposed to be talked, so right. We can't have any discussion from the public at this time. I'm sorry. So it could be done after the meeting. Or if a question's asked from a commissioner directly to a public, it could be.
Right. So, and
it seems to be neither of those forms are very good. I mean, I appreciate, let's put us on our place, but we need almost to be able to sit down and discuss and work together.
It's up to you.
And the meeting and the hearing doesn't allow for that. Unless everybody's going to stay, but I mean, if we're going to work together, let's work together. I know I'm ruffling your feathers, Steve. I can see
well, yeah, it's
flush in your face.
It's just again, as Brody had mentioned, there's public meetings.
Wait a minute.
Okay. As Brody has mentioned, there's public meetings, which the public is invited to come and observe and listen to what's going on, and then there's public hearings where the public is invited to speak. This is just a public meeting, not a public hearing.
I understand exactly,
so it's up to the chair if he wants to allow for individuals to talk or not.
But if we don't have a dialogue with the public, how the hell are we supposed to do our job?
Well, they had meetings.
You can tell I'm adamant about this. I'm a proponent that we hear from you so that we can do the best job for this community. And if we have rules that say we can't do that, we need to change the rules so that we can.
They have had meetings also where they invited the public to come and go over this stuff too.
Then why didn't I show up?
Notice.
I thought we were invited to talk a little bit, just to avoid what happened last time. Because you got a long ways without public input before the last public hearing, the room was full.
If I'm not mistaken too, at a public hearing, you were specifically disallowed from responding to questions and comments?
I'm sorry, this time, let's cut off the public comments and let's continue with the discussion here. And we need to make some movement on this.
Alright, so, to the commissioners. The public hearing is a time for dialogue. It is a time for questions. That's in our rules. It specifically allows and encourages commissioners to use that time to have dialogue with the public. If we need to have smaller meetings or things like that, that can be arranged, but it needs to be done in order. I think everyone knows and at least maybe respects the rules that govern meetings. If I go into court, I'm required to follow all the rules of the court. We do that to preserve maybe the integrity of that meeting. So if we need to have more public hearings and the commission wants to do that, we'll set that up and we'll go that route. So, but that again is in, and I want to make that clear for everyone here and the commission. During a public hearing, you guys can and should be encouraged to dialogue, to ask questions, and to discuss things.
Dialogue is two ways.
Okay, let's move to the item number three so we can go into the discussion about this. Do I have a motion?
No motion needed.
No motion? Okay, so now we are in officially number three, I guess. So we did have a lot of information from when the public spoke to us at the last meeting. Does anybody want to talk about what was the information that we were given at the last meeting? Is there any opinions or anything's changed? You got some individual ideas?
Can I ask a question about it? So my understanding of being in the Planning Commission is we look at what is appropriate for the area. It meets the requirements to put a building there, basically, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, like, on all of this work that we did on reviewing all of this and the research and the meetings and stuff, because we're talking about the big book now, I forgot what it's called. Sorry, I had a really long day. So my question is, aren't we just supposed to decide if it's appropriate, and then this council decides if the public wants it or not? Am I wrong in that? Because I see it more as we see that we're meeting the rules that are set up that's appropriate for our city, and then the council, after that's approved, to say, yes, that piece of land is appropriate to be R8 or whatever. And then the council decides what the public wants and if it's good for the city if someone decides they want to build there.
Yeah. The Planning Commission, again, is a sounding board for the council. You guys take all land use items, rezones, ordinance changes, general plan amendments, annexations, and it comes through this body so that they have another sounding board. You guys look at the city as a whole saying, okay, is this, as a city as a whole, the most appropriate place, location for this rezone or what have you? Because we get to look at it citywide, not property specific. Even though, yes, rezones, look at this property is going to be rezoned this and not the rest. But like in this case, with the Focus Roy, it looked at, again, in general, the city focused on Front Runner Station and downtown. How can the city grow with the demands that are coming? I mean, our kids are having kids and they're having kids. So where are people going to live? And if we want people to be able to live in Roy, where can they go? 95% of the city is already built out with single family homes. I don't know if you've looked at property values lately. Most young kids can't afford those homes. So we gotta provide opportunities, all styles and densities of housing. You know, even as older generations go, you know, you have a 6-bedroom house and then all of a sudden you're an empty nester. Do you still need that or want that? Do you want to go down? So you gotta provide it not just for the kids going up, but the people coming down. So again, looking at Wasatch Front Regional Council, Utah League Cities and Towns, even the state legislation, they're saying, okay, we've got to start planning, or we're going to be in San Francisco where just a house right next to us that might be 3 bedrooms is $250,000 or $500,000, because there's no land to build. And if that's the, you know, if we keep doing single family homes, that's what's going to happen. There's going to be no land. Davis County is hitting that now because they're a lot skinnier than everybody else. Weber County does have a lot of land west, but it can't necessarily be developed because you have need a sewer lift station for every 10 homes. And those are $500,000 each. So the question is, okay, within Roy, where can we support additional growth? And that's what Focus Roy helped identify, is these two areas that we don't have a lot of land, so instead of growing outwards, we need to start thinking of growing upwards. So that's, again, what this ordinance is looking at, is, okay, taking Focus Roy and the comments that were within that and the kind of some of the guidelines, this ordinance was written to satisfy that requirement. Now, like Brody said, the city council, if you guys pass this on, the city council can go through and say, okay, yes, the planning commission said 5 stories in between the tracks is a good idea, and they can say, no, it really is, should only be 3 stories.
We're just a recommending body. They make the decisions. They're
right.
They're the political party. We are to look at land use specifically only.
So that's what this body does. We're, like Brody said, we have very little authority except for that which is given to us. So site plan approvals, subdivisions.
Make the decisions.
But those are already in the books as law. We don't create something new. We just say, okay, does that site plan meet the law? Yes, it does. Approve it. Or no, it doesn't. Table it or reject it. But we can't reject most things, because if it's allowed in the ordinance, it's got to be done. So any legislative item like rezones, ordinance changes, general plans, annexation, state says it has to come to this body first. And that's what you guys are doing. You're creating a new ordinance, which will create a new zone for these two areas.
I think, just from kind of where I'm at with this, I think there's a couple of key things. Number one, we don't get to create the ordinance. You know, we've done a lot of the work, kind of put together the framework. I think whatever we give to the council is probably going to be changed in some form or manner. And we've kind of been working on this for a couple of years. I definitely heard what the public said in the meeting. I think there's some things that definitely need to be worked through in that. But I think maybe in this case, it might be better suited for the council, who's elected by the people, to work through some of those issues than it is for us to delay that further. Because they can hold some public open houses, they can hold some public hearings, rather than us try to massage this. I think maybe it's better for us to put it into their hands, and you know, we've I think got where we can, in my opinion, as the planning commission. When we look at Roy, we look at Focus Roy, you know, it identifies kind of 2 hot spots. One of them was the Front Runner station. If we're going to build transit-oriented development, what better place to put that other than a Front Runner station? Now, what that looks like in the format of that, that's still, I think, moldable. But I think it makes sense when you look at it from the outside, if you've got that kind of a resource and whatnot. I think it makes sense to put that there. The other thing is putting it up by the freeway makes sense to put that up there where there's roads that are meant to handle that. Otherwise, we can allow everybody to keep building out west. We get none of the benefit, but we get all of the headache and the traffic that we already have. But by building that around where there's infrastructure, on ramps and a freeway, it makes sense. Building that where there is a transit station, to me, makes sense. Now, maybe in the form that we have it currently, there are some things that can be worked through. One of the things that I do empathize greatly with is the the traffic. I know 4,000 in the transportation plan can go up to a four-lane road. You know, that's one area that can help. We don't know what the development in this will look like, and without that, it's hard to say what all the connecting roads or what, and it's the council that's got to address the traffic. We can't address that at this level. So I think some of these issues are better handled by the council that is elected by the people. We can just make the recommendation, move it forward, and then leave it in their hands. That's kind of where I'm at with this, and I'd love to hear the other.
I have a similar idea on that, and I'd rather give the city council as many options as they can have and let them see the picture as we've already shown it or written it this far, and let them decide ultimately what they want to do with what we've presented with them. And we don't have, I wouldn't feel bad about them changing anything that we've presented them ever. I mean, that's their job as elected officials, is to represent the people fully, and they will do the job. I think the ones we've got in office currently are very much for the people. So I would like to see it move forward. That's my opinion as well.
I mean, you know, we say it could be five stories. The market may say there's just no way of making it five stories, because the difference between three and four is an elevator, and the cost of an elevator skyrockets the project. So even if we say five stories, it may only develop as three anyway. But again, that's,
get in there, then they can't go that high anyway. Yeah. So they can't get a fire truck.
So I'd rather paint the picture broad enough and let the council dwindle it down. But again, I'm not a voting member, so that's what I try to generally do, is to help you guys paint that broad picture, and then they can whittle it down to a more suitable thing for Roy City.
I do think if you follow what, I mean, the majority of Roy City wants, you hear so often they want restaurants, they want sit-down places, they want shopping, and then, but then when we have the opportunity to have something like this, if we stop and we don't put it out there for the council to take, we don't have the opportunity to get the things that people say they want into Roy. Because I know I hear all the time, they want Chick-fil-A's, they want a sit-down restaurant, they want all this stuff, that then we don't want to have it in anyone's neighborhood. I mean, I live on 4800. There's no one that knows traffic better than I do. I live right on 4800, but that's where I live. I could move if I don't like it. I mean, that's my reality. I chose to live there. I just think that, what are we going to do with tabling this? I mean, I don't know how we can make this better, because if we change it, then the city council still may not like it. So they probably do need to take it and figure out what they're going to do for it, because I think we have met our obligation of meeting the rules and the requirements of what we were supposed to do. Maybe that's what I think, though.
Good comment.
No, I like that. That makes sense to me.
And I like your new hair.
Side note.
Ms. Chairman?
Wait,
sir.
Wait.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. You had your hand up.
I may be longer than you. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry.
Go ahead. All
right. We've got all night.
No, we don't. I was talking
to you. We only have 8:30, according to you.
About 7:45.
Okay? You know. One thing I don't know if everybody is cognizant of, the legislature passed SB 34 last session, and basically they called it the moderate income housing and transportation bill. And I thought that was a weird title until I read it. And basically it says, if you are a city in Utah, you will provide moderate income housing for your citizens, or we will withhold your traffic funds. So if you think it's going to help by not having any multifamily dwellings in Roy, then we're going to have no widening of streets. And I don't know which comes first, it's an egg and a chicken maybe, but that is what they have done. So these kinds of developments, particularly where we're talking about allowing mixed use development, may help us meet that need, and then may qualify us to get to be able to widen 5,600 or 4,000 or whatever our streets are. We have nothing to do with that. That was the legislature in their infinite wisdom. The other thing is that this group of people have worked on this a long time, and we have published legal notice of every meeting that we've had where we've discussed this in the last 2 years. There are two types of notice. There's actual notice, which is what we sent to all of you last time when we sent you a letter and saying we're going to hold this meeting. Normally, this particular meeting is constructive notice. We publish it on our website and we publish it in the paper. It is up on the citizen to look it up. That's not maybe the best way, but that's, there has been legal notice to everybody for every meeting we've ever had having these discussions. I really appreciate people coming out and telling us. We're talking about whether we do five stories or three stories or whatever it is. I haven't had a developer come and tell me what's economically viable. That would help me make a decision of how, what heights. We have a building plan over here that somebody brought. It looks okay and whatnot. The information, which again is why I want interaction.
I was just going to say, I kind of agree with her, with what's been said, that we need to move forward and put it in the hands of the city council. But nothing that we're looking at doing is saying that this is going to, something's going to start being built right away. This is just what the land use would be, and then it's up to the city council, and then it goes from there.
There still has to be approval of those things.
Yeah.
Can I give you a worst case scenario? Commissioner Brand had mentioned Senate Bill 34. In December of this year, I have to report back to the state how the city has responded, not just putting the stuff into the general plan, but what have we done of those items. Senate Bill 34 talked about TIP funds, which is UDOT funds for 1900 West, 5600 South, 3500 South, and Midland Drive. So if we didn't do those things in the general plan, UDOT would just bypass Roy and go to some other city if they had funds. But in that bill, they originally put what's called Class C funds, which is 60% of Public Works' budget to be able to improve existing roads. That was eliminated towards the end of it. But if cities don't report back that, you know, we've done this and this and this, legislation can throw back in the Class C monies, and if cities aren't doing that, they'll either take away money or they'll take away that power from the city, and the state will do it. And the state will say, that land is multifamily by the front runner station, and the city no longer has the ability, not even the council. So I don't want to, that's the worst case scenario. And the way this legislation has gone, I think it was 1998 was when I graduated college, was the first time they asked for a moderate income housing plan to be in the general plan. 20 years later, they're forcing cities to put that in their general plan. I almost think, and it'll take less time for the legislation for cities to do it. They'll just take that right and privilege away from the city, and we're now being zoned and regulated by the state themselves. So not to put pressure on council members, but those are things that we as a body and we as a city need to take into consideration, that do we want the state legislation to take over that ability? Worst case scenario. Not to scare you.
Thanks, Steve. Have any other comments from commissioners?
Well, I don't understand with tabling the item. Does that just mean we're going to have more discussion and then it gets re-voted on? Or, like, I guess I don't understand what the... I mean, I know we don't vote on the, because we tabled it, but what do we do that now?
You can vote tonight.
We can vote now.
Oh, we can.
Basically, we hit the pause button after the public hearing.
So everyone could kind of
We hit the pause button so that we had time to kind of absorb.
Review and think absorb.
Okay. So that we weren't making a decision in the heat of the moment. And then what we do with it is up to us.
So it doesn't have to go through a hearing and all of that again.
Correct. It's already happened.
So the question is are there things that we want to discuss and go through in the code, or is everybody comfortable enough to forward it on? I mean, that's really what we're here for tonight.
Well, when you explained it, Steve, it didn't seem to me that the mixed use were making things much different than what they already were. It just allowed for things to be actually smaller in areas than what they could have been.
Yeah, again, some areas that are zoned light manufacturing, 60-foot buildings can already exist.
And that's similar to what would be in the
new code. Things by the airport, the ordinance already allows 60-foot buildings. So a five-story building is very comparable to what is already allowed. So this is a little different. I mean, if you have a light manufacturing, it could be a 50,000 square foot building that's 400 feet long, where a residential building's not gonna be that. So you're gonna have a more of a wall effect than you would with buildings that might be broken up. So a lot of it, again, those areas have been zoned that, and I'll try to see if I can find it, have been zoned that for decades and nothing's happened. Oops. So you've got the light manufacturing, now my mark in purple along here, along there, all the way up to that someone could build a 60-foot building. And there's nothing we or the city can do. If someone makes application, if they meet the ordinance, it's approved, they're building it. So that, you know, the only part that's not along the freeway, or not the freeway, the railroad track on in between is 10 acres that is a single family, and then UTA's property and stuff is single family. And those are 35-foot buildings. So in essence, a five-story is comparable to a 60-foot building. We're just saying, okay, we're gonna take it from a Walmart, which will never go there, but Walmart-sized building, and putting smaller type buildings in there.
So it gives the city more flexibility.
Right.
This now, I understood it as, yeah, is that again, correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And as Ryan had mentioned, the council can start whittling it down once you guys have taken that broad stroke and said, okay, this is our best effort. We've considered everything. Now let's, what's best for Roy in your opinion?
Yep, and in our work sessions and things like that, as we saw the different presentations, when we've gotten input from other individuals and things like that that live in the area, you know, that was where we came with the height restrictions that we put in place in order to put it to a five-story on the height of the hill, the three-story. So kind of my opinion is, I think, honestly, like I said before, we've got it where I think as a planning commission, where we can get it. I think it's up. I think it's our turn to turn it over to the council and let them go, because I feel like we've kind of worked through those issues. I don't know that holding it here is going to do anything that's going to help this, where it's going to get massaged and modified, you know. And we can sit where we're at. You know, I've lived in Roy since 2003. I drove in traffic for 11 and a half years up 5600. I mean, it's the same issues, and we can keep doing what we've been doing, and we look at the business culture and things like that. It's shifted a little bit the last little while. We can sit there and just keep doing what we've been doing, say no to everything, or we can try to create an environment that changes that dynamic a little bit, that maybe gives us a little bit of an economic spur on 1900. You know, you look at the development that's coming in Hiddle. I would rather keep that stuff up at 1900 and by the transit station, then keep letting everything just go out west, you know, where they're going to have all those really cool, nice things, and all we get is the traffic. So that's kind of my opinion, is we have an opportunity here. Is it perfect? No, and I fully recognize that, you know, and listening to the public comments, you know, those are things that I do absorb and did hear, but I really feel like we're kind of where we're at. Now let's turn it over to the council and let them interact with the public. They can interact with the public in a way that we can't, because they're elected by the people.
We've done it before.
We can't have those conversations prior to an item being on the agenda. You know, we're very limited in that, where I think that discourse can be much better had at the council level. Okay, so.
I'm open for whatever you guys want to do.
We could look for a motion for. I would like approval.
Do you have any other thoughts? I know you said you kind of agreed with what was said, but we haven't said much. Would you, do you have anything else that you would like to say?
She's a Chelsea fan. We don't want to hear from her. Sorry, Annette.
Okay, we'll look for a motion. Item number 3A, to consider amending Title 10 Zoning Regulations, Chapter 6, Establishment of Zoning District, Chapter 13, Downtown and Stationary, FBC, Chapter 17, Table of Uses, Table 17-2, and Chapter 19, Required Off-Street Parking.
make a motion that we approve item three as stated by our chair.
We got a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Roll call vote.
Roll call vote.
Commissioner Payne?
Aye.
Commissioner Spar?
Aye.
Commissioner Mifflin?
Aye.
Aye. Commissioner Brand?
Aye.
Commissioner Cowley?
Aye.
Commissioner Bills?
Aye.
Pass 6-0.
Item number two, continuation considering amending the zoning map from RC R18, R2, R3, and R4 to downtown. VP and RI8 to Innovation District and LM RE20 and RI8 to stationary area.
Pastor and I can get this through.
Do we have a motion on that?
Mr. Chair, I will move to recommend that we approve, that the city council approve the request to amend the zoning map from RC R18, R2, R3, and R4 to downtown, VP to Innovation District, and LM, RE20, and RI8 to station area as outlined in the staff report.
Okay, you have a motion. Do you have a second?
I'll second it.
Having a second, now we got a vote.
Okay, Commissioner Mifflin? Commissioner Cowley?
Aye.
Commissioner Spar?
Aye.
Commissioner Bills?
Aye.
Commissioner Payne?
Aye.
Commissioner Brand?
Aye.
That passes as well.
Okay, move on to commissioner's minutes.
So, hold on, this will go to the city council. Now, I'm not sure what their, when their agendas will be, when they'll have work sessions. I know they were waiting on what happened at the planning commission level before they started figuring all that stuff out. So please look for the agenda. If you can call Morgan up at the administration office if you want to know, or go online on the website, you can sign up to get notifications of agendas, either from planning commission or city council. Or if you're on Facebook, Glenda will have that agenda also on Facebook. She's great about getting it and posting it just to help get it out there. So they'll also be posted here at City Hall on the public website that the state mandate all cities do, plus the newspaper. Now, other than public hearings, I can't guarantee the newspaper will publish the agenda. Sometimes they just don't have room and don't do it, but we at least have to send it to them. So it probably will take a couple months, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9. I don't know how long council will have it.
Thank you, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Move on to agenda item 5, commissioner's minute. I got a question. When's the, on 5600, the...
EIS?
Yes.
I don't know if they've put it out to public yet. I think they were going to have some meetings with people along it, and then put it out.
So we're looking maybe this.
Yeah, I haven't heard. I want to say spring, summer. I know they want to get it adopted so they can start working on getting funding.
Okay, so how long would we have to wait for 5600 is actually to be widened after we
hear? Right now it is on scheduled, I want to say phase two, which is after 2025.
But I have some information.
Oh.
Wasatch Regional Council does this. When I started attending the meetings 2 years ago, it was 2030. The last meeting I went to was 2050. So they're pushing everything down the road because there's no money by the legislature to do road.
So, but I, and the unfortunate part is 1800 North and Sunset Clinton and the interchange kind of have a higher priority than 56. Most of it, again, is because of Falcon Hill. The interchange at 1800 North and I-15 is already funded. They just got to move that train station that the Army has on the Air Force Base to Louisiana and then get funding to actually widen 1800 North. So I mean, we can talk to our legislators to try to move things along or get money out of there and into us, but they kind of, they finished their EIS in 2011. So they're about 11, you know, 10, 9, 10 years ahead of us. Yeah?
So I have a question. When you say we control the legislature, I'm assuming that we have a lobbyist or...
Roy City? No. I mean, you can contact the, we as individuals, we as a city can contact those that represent Roy, both of the state, the Senate and the House, to try to get on those committees to, you know, shuffle the money around.
It'd be nice to get that moved quicker.
It would be nice. It would be nice.
Along with our other roads.
Yeah. In 1800 North will alleviate some issues both on 650 and Clearfield and 56, but give it 5 years after that and we'll be back right back where we were. So just with the number of homes that are being built in West Haven, Hooper, it's, yeah. So.
Traffic's not gonna get any better.
Did you live on 48?
I have a question.
Yes.
When we talk about traffic, how much residential bus service do we have here? I used to take the bus because I lived in New York. I took the train, so I kind of know how it works in a bigger city. It doesn't...
Very comparable.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Just saying. Okay, I lived in Salt Lake.
Okay.
From Taylorsville.
Not comparable. Yeah.
So my question is, I know that UTA has been looking at ways to provide more service, and I know that we're creatures of habit and that we like to drive our cars, great, fine, but at some point, we're going to reach a bottleneck, and then what do we do?
Right now, I think the one that goes from Salt Lake to Ogden runs every 30 minutes.
Yeah. That often.
It might, during peak rush hour, travel a little quicker.
Is it an express bus?
There's another one like that. You can, there's park and rides you can get on and it goes straight there. But 70 does puddle jump, so to speak, and it takes a while. Front Runner Station, I don't know, is it every 20, 30? I don't know.
Well, it comes at 7:15 every morning.
I think it's 48.
Every half hour. But again, peak hours. There are, I want to say, two other bus routes that go westward, but I know one that goes along 3500 West in Midland and into Clinton, it's once an hour. The issue is, just, again, ridership, it doesn't demand for something more. And
I do know with Front Runner, they are going to double track the tracks. There's one area that they can't, but everything else that would allow it to go 20 miles an hour faster and allow them to run service more frequently, because right now they have to run it so that it offset so that the trains pass each other, because they only had right of way for basically one set of tracks. So when they double track it, that would improve the Front Runner service.
So double track is side by side.
Yeah, side by side. Okay. So trains can pass each other.
Yeah, right now the only spot they can pass each other is at each station. So I mean, the farther north you get, the worse it goes. Closer you get to Salt Lake, the more buses there are. Again, because Salt Lake is a lot bigger. Ogden does have some that just run in Ogden and don't come out. So as a bedroom community, we're kind of stuck.
Okay.
Update wise.
How about commissioners minute, or was that it?
We're still
okay. That I would like to say. We're going to adjourn after Steve tells us what the update is, and I, for one, am going to stay. And if any of you are interested in talking about this after the meeting is over, I would like to hear your concerns. I invite my other members of this commission to do the same.
Okay.
Not in a quorum, of course.
Oh, no quorum. Just a gathering.
There you go.
Have any planning commission applicants?
We did put it on the website, notified it. We did receive a single application. I gave it to the mayor today to kind of look it over. We'll discuss, and then if he's good with it, then we'll put it on the council's agenda to approve. His background, again, if it's the one, he is an engineer. So his only caveat would be is if he gets put on it, he wouldn't be able to bring work here, or he'd have to be excused off the dais, so.
Isn't that worth considering someone like that then?
Do what?
Is it worth considering someone?
Well, the good thing is it gives you a knowledge that I don't have, Brody doesn't have, or anybody else. I mean, from an engineer standpoint, I think it'd be good.
That piece I get, the conflict of interest.
Yeah, I mean, he can just tell his work, I can't take anything that goes to Roy.
That's more on him, not on us.
Yeah. And if he does, if his company does have something, he can just say, I got a conflict and step down. So why we try to have a couple alternates so someone can take their place if needed. Update wise, it's really, if you guys have questions, I know the general plan, I'm just waiting on Public Works to give me any of their concerns with what was written, and then I'll send all the comments down to him, and then he'll incorporate them and start figuring out when and what meetings. So.
And then real quick, I've been working on just a little document that we could put on the agenda that would maybe describe some of the rules, some of the expectations of both the commissioners and the public and the applicants specifically when they're addressing us. I will send that out to the commission members for your thoughts, feedback, editing, and then maybe get something that can hopefully help, I guess, a little bit, kind of everyone know what we're doing here.
Very much appreciate that. It'll be similar to what was on the back of the...
Yeah, kind of that same idea, just so that someone could read it and essentially know the roadmap of Planning Commission and some of the rules and some of the expectations from both the public and the commissioners.
Hopefully we can get large enough print for people to have.
I'll do my best to keep it small enough that we can type it big.
That's great. Okay. I guess we'll look for a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
Got a motion?
A second.
Got a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We're now adjourned.
Can someone direct me to where this is?